It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
And let's talk legal with Cecil Harvell. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you.
Glad to hear that. And Wes Collins in studio looking ready for court. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning.
Very good. Gentlemen, what's our topic of discussion today?
Well, Mike, Wes and I have discussed prior to the program, we thought we would talk about some of the spousal rights that exist in the state of North Carolina. I don't know that we will get through all of those issues in one program. We might talk a bit about it today and then move on into that as well next week. There really are, Mike, just a real plethora, if you will, many, many spousal rights in North Carolina. Just last night, I got an email from a client who is explaining to me that she bought a condominium with her father. They titled it, together. It was an investment type, project that they entered into, she and her father. She then, of course, got married, and did not have any prenuptial agreement or any arrangement with regard to this property one way or the other. Now, of course, her father and she are, going to sell the property, and she's, of course, being told that her husband needs to join in on the deed. And her question, of course, is why in the world, you know, I owned this before I got married. It's not even my husband's property. His name is not on the deed, et cetera, et cetera. And what can you do to get me out of this situation? And so here we are, Mike. That's just an example. The essence of that question is that in the state of North Carolina, a spouse accrues to some inheritance rights as a result of the marriage. Mm-hmm. And the inheritance rights, the right of the spouse in the estate of the spouse exists in the state of North Carolina. You know, no matter what the title might be, the title can be exclusively in the name of the husband or the wife or whatever it might be. But the bottom line is that the spouse has potentially some interest in that property. Mm-hmm. And so with regard to real estate, which this is what this question is about, and a condominium, then the joinder of the husband is necessary, just so that he waives his rights in the estate of his wife. It doesn't mean, as she points out, that he necessarily is entitled to any of the proceeds, or that he is a joint owner in the property. He isn't. Everyone acknowledges that. Even the closing lawyer acknowledges that. But the bottom line is that the joinder of his signature is a statement by him that he waives any rights to that property relative to his wife's estate. And so that is why in the state of North Carolina, the signature of the spouse is needed. Now, if you have a prenup, or if you have a free trader agreement, which is very similar to a prenup, or if the property is in an LLC, something of that nature, is a corporate property, then you can get around this joinder of spouse. But otherwise, that's out there. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been confronted with this issue and are familiar with it.
I wonder if you could, this may sound like a stupid question, Cecil, mm-hmm. or Wes. Just define spouse as it relates to the statute. What is a spouse in North Carolina?
Well, we don't have common law marriage here, so you have to be married. Okay. Under the laws of the state of North Carolina.
So two people living together for 10 years but not married, they're not considered a spouse.
Right.
No.
And honestly, I haven't picked up the statute in the last several years since some of that has changed to read it and try to pick up the gender nuances with regard to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what we all think marriage is.
Yeah.
Marriage certificate, license,
right.
Process. You know, that's an interesting question. I'm actually dealing with a case now. I'm not going to go into too much detail because it is a pending case where One of the issues in the case is whether the deceased, who was married and happily married for 15 or 20 years to someone here locally, had been previously married in another state. And so then the issue is whether who has the spousal rights.
Right.
Does this, because if you have the second marriage, which we have a valid marriage certificate, but you have a prior marriage certificate from another jurisdiction, the second marriage is the biggest marriage and it's not recognized.
Ooh.
So then even though the person was living happily, you know, married, from all appearances, held this person out as his wife and left everything under the will to her,
Ooh.
The previous spouse would have claims as the actual spouse.
Because there was no divorce in that first marriage.
There was no divorce. So
right.
That's you kind of see how those spousal rights can trump just about everything if you're not careful. So I guess word to the wise on that is if you get married and you get remarried, let's undo the first marriage first.
Make sure, yeah.
Before we move on. So
a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, that's right. So you can imagine how that can get messy.
You'd be surprised, Mike, how I guess the word is, you know, how common that is. I don't know that it's often, but folks think that when they separate physically, that somehow after X number of years they are, you know, divorced.
Yeah, it
just
goes away.
People also believe that if they enter into a written separation agreement, and of course they are separated, and then several many years goes by, they have a written separation agreement. As far as they're concerned, they're divorced. And it really is interesting to see how many times these facts can kind of, you know, place a cloud on things. A divorce is a very legal procedure. It's not complicated, but it is where one of the two parties in the divorce go before the appropriate jurisdiction and get an order, a decree of divorce, and that is filed in the appropriate jurisdiction. That's not a separation agreement. That's not just living separate and apart for, you know, 10 years or more. Had a file just last Friday. A nice family came in, and the husband, if you will, had died. She, of course, insisted that they were divorced because they had just not been living together for 20 or more years. And I asked more particularly about a divorce decree, and she wasn't real sure about that, and actually come to find out the truth is that there really it wasn't a divorce decree. And so now there's this piece of land again that's involved, he side, and the question kind of is, does she have rights in that land as a result of the fact that there really was no decree of divorce? She's a surviving spouse, if you will, or maybe that's the question. So the devil is in the details with regard to these marital issues. And they are, as I mentioned at the front of the program, and Wes has just got an office full of permutations of this issue. They are just endless. I mean, the way in which these things creep into everyday life, the issue of spousal rights is just enormous. One of the things, and again, I think today might be just a good day to kind of talk generally, and then next week we can get a little bit more specific. Mike, we've talked on the program so many times about the fact that in the state of North Carolina, you know, a spouse has an elective share in the estate of their deceased spouse. So if I have a husband or wife come into the office and say, gosh, we've agreed that all of my property is going to go to to the children from my prior marriage. And we understand this, and she's going to do a will that says that, and I'm going to do a will that says that. She has her assets. I have my assets. and we really do not intend to inherit from each other. You know, that is a loaded request from a client, because absolutely, the surviving spouse of that marriage has a right of election, an elective share right to the spouse of the, to the deceased spouse. And it's based on the number of years of the marriage, but very, very quickly, you know, years fly by, and very, very quickly, within, I think, 15, 20 years, isn't it 15, Wes?
15 goes to 50%.
Exactly. At 15 years, it goes to 50%. And so, my goodness, that's a lot, 50% of the estate. So then the spouse makes the comment, well, my husband will never do that. We have agreed on this, and my husband will not file that election. The problem there is that if the husband is in advanced age, has reached a point where there's a power of attorney, that is applicable in his life, then the agent under his power of attorney can make this election. And it could be argued, we've had cases in our office where it could be argued, and it was argued, that it was in fact their responsibility, their fiduciary duty under the power of attorney to make the election, even though the spouses had very much agreed, but not in writing, I might add, but had agreed that there would not be an elective share election. Now, this can all be changed by prenuptial agreement. This can also be changed by a during the marriage agreement, or what we lawyers call a postnuptial or post-marriage agreement. You know, if we can get together with these folks and reduce some of these issues to writing, then we can avoid some of these hiccups along the way. But the elective share in the state of North Carolina is alive and well, and is something that we lawyers, certainly lawyers at our office, are, you know, we're just looking at that and dodging that ball every day of the week, because it's just a very real thing. And again, that falls into the category, Mike, of, you know, the spousal rights.
So, you know, just to add a little bit more to the elective share, of course, what Cecil's referring to is the fact that upon the death of one spouse, the other spouse has the right to make a share, that a claim. And that's in the estate, but elective share extends beyond what we call the probate estate. It's just not the stuff that passes through the will. It would be life insurance, retirement accounts, anything. It would be gifts within the last year. So it's a very broad net that's thrown, that's allowed to capture that 50% of what we refer to as the total net assets. So that claim has to be made within 6 months of the date of qualification of whoever's serving as executor or administrator of the estate. And there's some bells and whistles and details involved with regard to making sure that claim is brought properly. And then obviously, as we know, that could be a pretty big ticket item. That could even come up again when we have one of these situations where folks think they've been living separate and apart for a long period of time, and they kind of think, okay, well, we're divorced. Even might even hold themselves out to be divorced. Well, you're not divorced until you're legally divorced, so you still have that right.
Yeah.
However, you can, and sometimes in these situations, whether it's an elective share claim, or whether it's intestate share claim, or whether it's a claim for the year's allowance, or whatever it may be, by a spouse, and that's what we're really talking about today. Generally, is spouse's rights. If the circumstances are that the spouse who is claiming the share, whatever that claim may be, has abandoned the relationship or has lived in adultery after the relationship, or really during the marriage, but after they split, then that could be used to eliminate all those rights. So if you end up in an abandonment situation, then that could be something that has to be fought out in court as to whether there was truly abandonment or whether it was justified. Let's say there was abuse in the home and one of the spouses left. Well, that normally is going to be justified. So that's not really seen as abandonment. So, you know, we kind of come back to where we started several minutes ago, that, you know, if you in fact are separated and there's no real reason to stay married, go ahead and get the divorce done.
Yeah, get that behind you.
Otherwise, if you die, your spouse dies, that could create a real, or your prior spouse, so to speak, mm-hmm. Although uh-huh. you're really still married to him, it could really create
sticky situation.
Quite a problem and a lot of litigation involved in the estate.
Let's take a break on that note. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. We're talking about spousal rights, and we're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. If you'd like to reach out to the firm, call 252-726-9050. You can go online also at harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. We're talking about spousal rights, a weighty topic, very important topic. And as I was saying to Cecil, or saying to Wes over the break here, not all marriages are clean as far as first wife's first husband and two kids and we live our lives. There's a lot of sometimes baggage that comes with a second or third marriage.
Here comes another example. And actually, I saw, Wes, that this is on your calendar later on in the week. A young fella is coming in, and his father has tragically died. And his father, before he died, remarried and has a wife. So the wife is the surviving spouse. He, of course, is the child of the father from a prior marriage. So here he is now. His daddy has died, and he's quite concerned. So the note on the appointment says about things that are going on with regard to his father's estate. But here's the issue, Mike, that we're talking about today. There was no will. There was no will. And so the spouse, here we go, has the first right to qualify as the administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether they've been married for 6 months or 2 weeks or whether they've been married for 15 years. The bottom line is that at the time that this father died, he was married. And his wife, to the exclusion of the adult child, has the right to qualify as the administrator of the estate by statute in the state of North Carolina. Now, this is also the right to be the agent under a power of attorney. We see the right to be the guardian in a guardianship proceeding. Again, there is a presumption in North Carolina toward the surviving spouse. Now, Wes, in our litigation practice, we will sometimes challenge this presumption relative to a power of attorney or a guardianship proceeding or even an estate appointment of an administrator. It can always be challenged, and it is going to be within the discretion of the court as to who they appoint, but it begins with these presumptions that lean very heavily toward the spouse, Mike, which mm-hmm. is what we're talking about today. So this young gentleman is coming into our office. He's concerned about his, quote, stepmother and what she's doing with regard to his daddy's estate. But yet, you know, he didn't have the opportunity to be the administrator of his dad's estate because, of course, she has a spousal right to be the first choice.
Yeah. It's kind of almost a situation we were talking over the break. If you don't have the will in place, in this case, it creates a lot of mess, does it not, Wes?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, one of the questions that you had during the break was generally speaking of an adult child where there is the mother, his natural mother, remarried years ago, and the stepfather. And But the natural child of the mother was never adopted by the stepfather. So in the event that mom dies first, leaves everything to dad, which is kind of the way it normally goes.
Yeah.
Okay. He's really stepdad, but we call him dad and he treats us like son and there's no other kids involved.
Right.
And then he dies, but you were never adopted and he doesn't have a will. Then I used a certain term, but the term is you don't get jack squat.
Yeah, SOL. Yeah.
You get nothing, even though that was his intent. Doesn't matter how he treated you. It doesn't matter that he called you his son. That doesn't matter. I mean, there could be a discussion regarding a legitimization process, but it really doesn't apply in these facts. So, you know, mom and dad in this scenario, being mom and stepdad, need to make sure they have their affairs in order mm-hmm. if they want to take care of this particular child
only
who
child.
They treat as the only child.
Yeah. You
know, so we see all kinds of situations like that before. We've seen that exact situation before.
I'm sure you have at Harvell and Collins. Let's take our final break here, gentlemen, so we have a little bit of time in our closing segment when we come back after this break. If you'd like to reach out to Harvell and Collins, the phone number is 252-726-9050. You can go online to harvellandcollins.com as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Harvell. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, and we have about a minute or so left in today's show, guys.
Yeah. Mike, I think what's very important is for our listeners and for our listeners to also tell their friends and neighbors and churchgoers and family members, you know, it's very important that you go in and consult with a good lawyer and just kind of peruse through your assets, your family dynamics, your marriages, your children, your stepchildren, your adopted children. Your loved children, but yet they aren't your children, like Wes was just referring to, and make sure that you generally have your affairs in order. Do not make any assumptions with regard to any of these things. I had a file here last week where the lady was just convinced that their home was joint, that she owned it with her husband, that he had died and she owned it, they owned it together. Harker's Island, wonderful lady, just absolutely convinced that it was joint. The reason she thought it was joint was because they had a joint mortgage on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She signed in on the deed of trust one time. Well, guess what? The title was not joint. And now, of course, you know, his children from a prior marriage are going to have an interest in that home. Now, we were able to find the deed into the husband, you know, on the computer within 5 or 10 minutes of her being in my office.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I would have found that also if
Ten
they
seconds.
Had been in my office on the front end. So go in, see your lawyer, get these affairs in order.
Very good. Very good advice. Thank you, gentlemen.